SaaS Backwards is sponsored by Austin Lawrence Group, specializing in demand gen for SaaS. It sure is noisy. I deleted 100 emails from vendors just this morning. Your buyer has gotten better at ignoring you, and you're gonna need a big idea if you want to cut through all that clutter. Austin Lawrence is just the right agency to help you find it. So if your campaigns are falling on deaf eyeballs, let's talk. Visit austinlawrence.com today, and let's build something bigger.
Welcome to the SaaS Backwards Podcast, where we reverse engineer the success of fast-growing SaaS firms and explore strategies CMOs and CEOs are using to drive their businesses forward.
Hey, welcome to SaaS Backwards, recording live from the Ascent Conference in San Francisco. And my guest today is Colin Spector. He's the VP of Sales at Aurum. And it's a really interesting product to help salespeople be more effective. Could you tell us just a little bit about the company and what you do for them before we get into it?
Absolutely, Ken. And hey, thanks for having me on the show. Excited to be here. Aurum is a live conversation platform. It's the smartest way for salespeople to make calls on the phone while doing it on a sales floor environment, interactive and engaging sales floor. I'm the VP of sales. I've been with the business for coming on 4 years now. And I'm excited to be here.
Well, thanks. And I'm excited to have you, our first guest. So we're working some stuff out as we go.
All right.
But I've already heard some good stuff about the product from some of your users. And that's always like an interesting sign that, you know, people come up, ask about the show and guests and already got a good word. But tell me from your perspective, what are like the top two or three problems that you solve for your customers?
Yeah. So top few problems we solve. Number one is a lack of engagement on the sales floor, a lack of buzz on the sales floor. What do I mean by that? Is bringing the buzz back to the floor by getting your reps into live conversations. So the other big problem we solve is the inefficiency historically tied to making phone calls. Most organizations have an incredibly low pickup rate, and as a result, they've abandoned the phone altogether, right? Most folks have turned to email or other channels for their outreach effort, but we've seen those other channels like email, like social, text, start to get flooded with this new wave of AI and, you know, email filtering. And so we've created Aurum as the most efficient way to generate human-to-human conversations on the phone. So solving for what had become a really arduous and drudgery experience
grueling,
for most salespeople, right?
Outbound dials are pretty grueling these days.
100%. Yeah, they can be without Aurum.
Well, so there's the problem that we solved.
Yeah.
And even maybe more significantly, the problem being solved is the abandonment of phone.
There you go.
Because from my experience, you know, email response rates just continue to go down. I hear from CEOs and CMOs, a lot of the targets of outreach, that they've sort of stopped paying attention at all to even their LinkedIn inboxes.
Yeah.
Right? So they're giving up on the ways we might reach them otherwise. So it's sort of like this pendulum swinging among the three or four ways we can reach these people. And this might be a way to make the phone even more important.
I mean, you nailed it, right? It's hard for me to see in my inbox or my LinkedIn now, even these days, who's a human and who's a robot. You know, even on LinkedIn, when I think it's a person and they've sent some, you know, personalized messaging of some kind, they might have a couple connections. Lo and behold, it's some AI, you know, programmatic bot coming to get me. And so it certainly swings as the pendulum swings, as you mentioned. And yeah, it's swinging back to people wanting to have more human interaction. Right? So yeah, in person's great, but what other way can you be human than on the phone with your voice in that relationship
building? I think we have evidence for that right here at the conference, right? This is the first time they're doing this conference in San Francisco. More than 800 people expected each day. So the desire to connect to like real people, it's pretty abiding, yeah, as a need, right?
Oh yeah. No, we all crave that human interaction, especially these days. Absolutely.
So you've been there 4 years, so you might have some good perspective on the development of the product over time and like product market fit. Can you take us back those 4 years, and was the product as closely aligned with users as it is today? And if not, how did you get there?
Yeah, so Aurum, the founding story, Aurum was founded by Jason Dorfman. He was the first inside sales leader at a company called Rubrik, built Rubrik from zero to 300 million. And that was primarily through the phone. And Aurum was the kind of secret weapon at Rubrik's success in the early days. And so the problem that we were looking to solve was the inefficiency, right? Calling these IT decision makers on the phone was an arduous journey. And reps were making 100 calls a day, getting maybe 2 to 3 conversations. And if you fumbled those conversations, you burned a really big cookie for yourself.
You make babies cry, too.
Yeah, you make babies cry, right? And so you had to find a more efficient way. And Jason looked at the market. There were some outsourced calling providers. There were kind of legacy click-to-call systems, but nothing that could really scale with the modern sales tech stack. So he partnered with some developers and built Aurum really as an internal tool for his inside team. And then 4 years ago, we spun that out and commercialized Aurum for the market. And so we started out already solving a problem with some idea of market fit.
You know, that's really cool. I mean, it's a thing I've seen plenty of where, you know, we call them a subject matter expert, for lack of a better term. Somebody who's got a problem in their own business goes and solves it and says, hey, that might actually be a product somebody cares about.
Right.
So I think that's even more encouraging as a way to enter a market.
Yes. Yeah. It helped validate a lot of the early theories and testing. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very cool. So besides the phone, what are the growth strategies that you're employing at Aurum, and, you know, what's going to drive growth for the next year or two at your firm?
Yeah. So I'm really bullish on partnerships, ecosystem. Of course, outbound, you know, efforts will always be there. We started out 100% outbound and really only added demand gen in the last maybe 6 months of the business. So really the first segment of the Aurum journey, the first 4 years, were primarily outbound driven through an ABM, you know, omnipresent, as we call it, focus. So calls, email, social, even direct mail as a part of that strategy, sponsoring events like this one and podcasts. But the real big strategy that I'm bullish on personally, and what I've seen be successful in prior markets, are through the partnership ecosystem, working with friends in tangential markets or in complementary services to rise the ships together. So that's a big strategy for us this year, especially.
So you mentioned demand gen at the beginning of that segment, and I'm curious what demand gen looks like for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, now we've got a whole marketing engine humming, and, you know, some of the traditional kind of paid media, paid advertising, sponsorship, you know, events like this one. We have a booth today, but holistically, investments in your brand and SEO, and those help with lowering your customer acquisition costs, right? The more people that are aware of you and are familiar with you, reduces uncertainty, reduces risk about working with your business. Investments in, you know, case studies and content marketing, that's been really key for us lately.
You know, it's interesting you brought up risk. My colleague Jason Myers ran a brain date this morning at 8:15,
okay,
getting people off the status quo, right? What does it take to get the prospect off the status quo? And I think the number one agreed concern among prospects of the people at the table was the notion of risk, right? So de-risking these decisions. So those other assets and sort of the brand marketing helps de-risk that decision for
yes,
you, right?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I mean, you could provide assets around your security or compliance, customer testimonials, right? Social proof. So there's so much in terms of just content and brand awareness you can invest in to reduce that risk and help reduce the buyer friction, right? The buyer is researching in parallel. They're talking with communities. Actually, another big channel for us has been these uprising of micro communities on Slack or Reddit or you know, Quora or these other places that people go to seek out answers and talk with objective third parties.
And so, meet people.
And meet people. It's all about people. Meet people, making memories here.
It's really true. I mean, I think we're about to close a new client. Met him on a community. You know, it's
awesome.
Just a place that didn't exist 5 years ago on the internet, right? Really, communities were not that much of a thing. And it's become very important, especially when buyers are looking for more than just the salesperson's say-so.
Yes, yes.
They're looking for some kind of constructive engagement and proof before they talk to your team, right?
Oh, 100%. You want it validated by some sort of third party, right? And just hearing from your peer group what's working, what's not. And if you've got a really good product that is actually working and actually helping people and a brand that your value aligned with, people are going to talk about it. And that's been huge for our growth and development and speed to market here.
Is there a role in your organization, or what is the role of customer success in driving toward your revenue objectives?
Oh yeah, customer success is huge. I mean, we consider that a differentiator for us in the marketplace. We've got an incredible team. It's run by my counterpart, Tony Tiffany, and they're a phenomenal group here at Aurum. So client success, customer success, it's all about what we call value realization, focused on delighting the customers, right? So that's the key, because on the pre-sale side, we're implementing, we're bringing customers over the line and into the Orem family, and then they're being taken care of by our CS team and that true strategic partner to help them realize their goals. Orem is an investment, and we want to ensure that the ROI is there, and working on a quarterly basis with our customers, tracking towards those KPIs is key towards the renewal and growth.
I was going to ask you, is there a growth component there, like a certain amount of people start on the platform and then is success tasked with growing that utilization?
Yeah, absolutely. So CS team is assigned to driving growth and renewal expansion opportunities. So when we first started the business, we were really a kind of a one product company. And over the course of the last couple of years, we've evolved to three different products and packages. And so there's opportunity for folks to start to upgrade and add complementary services through Orem or through our partners that we're bringing in. So, yeah.
So I want to go back to that partner ecosystem, because I hear positive and negative things about business through partner. If the partner network is not constructively engaging with the prospects, in other words, if they're transactional and you have a relational kind of business, there can be a mismatch. So how are you picking partners and what do you look for?
Yeah, you know, you got to be really thoughtful on the partners that you're working with for the long term, right? There could be a short term trying to check the box and solve something you may not solve for, but think about the lifetime value of that customer and how deep of a relationship, what type of quality of a relationship you can build there. So for us, I mean, we really focus on partnering with companies and brands that are value aligned with who we are as a company and the way we service our customers. And we only want to bring in a partner that is a reflection upon our brand and helping emphasize the way we service our customers. So, I mean, how do we think about it? I mean, we really think about it from a value first principle, like what's best for our customers? Are they also customer centric? Are we going to complement one another in this customer's journey to value realization? So, you know, when you're first trying out partners, some of that is experimentation, but ideally you can reduce uncertainty through other testimonials, just like you would when you're buying a product from someone. So, yeah.
So are these partners that are referring business to you? Is there a value exchange between you and your partners?
Yeah, we have a referral agreement, referral program. We're starting to do the early stages of some resale type of engagements on certain items. Maybe it's data as an example, because we're a smart calling platform. So having great data partners for our customers is key for them to continue getting the value from our service. And then we've got partners on sales coaching side. The better your reps are on the phones, the better they're going to use our product. So we start to look holistically at the value chain of the sales rep and the people they engage with. And what links in the chain do we want to build ourselves? What links in the chain do we want to find deep domain expertise, even if we do some surface level building, and start to build that full chain for our customers?
Awesome. I want to shift gears a little bit with you and talk about the future of AI in these products. I mean, almost everybody now, all of a sudden, it's like overnight, everybody's got AI or had AI, and now they're talking about it.
Sure.
So where is the state of AI in the business and the product today? And what's the role going forward?
Yeah, so I mean, AI has been a day one part of the Orem platform. So I guess you could say we have been early days as an AI company, really from day one at the inception. So it's only evolved. It's only gotten more robust. And some of the latest advances in AI have enabled us to provide even more value for our customers, right? So doing real-time call transcriptions, but not just transcriptions, the AI summarizing the call notes and automatically saving that back to the CRM. One less click, one less thinking that the rep has to do, recommending a next step action following the call, recommending what call outcome the rep should select based upon the type of conversation that was had. The AI now is smart enough to be that almost executive assistant for the sales rep in real time, right? I think in the past, a lot of the AI was focused on, you know, after call action reports, you know, and ingesting the recording and kind of giving insights. And now with the advances, you know, we're bringing that in real time for the rep as an assistant.
So like as we're on the call, it's coaching what should happen?
Recommending, you could recommend battle cards, or right now really summarizing the call, all the notes. The rep can be focused on active listening first and foremost.
Awesome. So let's step back a little bit. 4 years with this business, but not your first rodeo.
Sure.
If you were talking to a founder of a younger company.
Yeah.
Maybe in a similar space, but not a direct threat, so you feel good sharing.
Sure.
What's like the key lessons focused on growing in today's environment, you know, from where you were 4 years ago? Like trying to imagine doing that again.
Like, yeah.
What are the things you would be doing? What are the top two or three things?
You know, I think it's the same that, I mean, the past two businesses that I've been a sales executive at and really driven from really seed or bootstrap to seven-figure businesses, I call it the evangelist sale. And when you're evangelizing a belief and conviction and a service, you need to focus where you're pointing your message, because you only have, you know, so much time in the day and so much resource, especially when you're small and just starting out as a founder. Get maniacal and specific on who you're focusing to solve problems for, right? You don't want to cast a super wide net in early days. At least this is my personal belief. So when I was at Namely, we focused on HR and performance management for very specific medium-sized media companies. And that became our core customer base. And those media companies had their own niche kind of HR communities where HR leaders would gather. And we became the de facto media HR system. And from there, we grew to other industries and verticals and became a competitor against ADP, Paychex, Workday. But starting out focused and getting crystal clear on what segment, what vertical, what industry, what persona we're targeting all of our messaging and efforts on, and that we are the experts there, it resonated. It was a differentiator. It opened a blue ocean, as you call it, for
us. So riches in the niches.
Yes.
Start with one that you can really do a great
100%.
Job for.
Go deep for those people and serve them so well. And then you find that next edge of that blue ocean and go to the next market. And did something similar at Aurum, starting out in cybersecurity with Rubrik and looking at tangential services from there.
I think it's really tempting early days to want to follow just whatever comes across your radar.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
How many founders have I seen, like, you know, they're shiny object people? You know, and like something comes across their radar and that's the thing. And then the next thing is the thing. So I think you have to have some courage of your convictions, go after a niche, do a great job, learn your lessons, and then you can broaden your footprint.
100%. I mean, there's so much great content out there, and you might hear something that's working really well for some other business, other seller, other organization. And you don't want to have what I call shiny object syndrome, and you're just like a fly to the shiny object. And otherwise, you're going to stretch yourself thin and dilute your focus. The more focus you can get, the more likelihood of success, in my experience.
Okay, last of my planned questions.
Sure.
Looking back over current company or even prior ones, you know, what would you do differently at your current company or in your career? Like, what learnings have you had that you wish you knew then what you know now?
Yeah, nothing gets done in business without a champion. And the way we define a champion is a person with authority and influence that's doing all the selling on your behalf. So I think early in my career, I just assumed people were buying from me because of my conviction and my excitement for what I was offering. But what I failed to realize was that conviction and excitement was building up a champion who was actually doing the hard selling internally in getting consensus internally with their counterparties to sell to the CFO or the person that holds the economic power in the business. And if I had recognized earlier that I'm really just glorified sales enablement for an internal advocate to do the selling for me, it probably would have saved me a lot of maybe heartache by convincing people who were not champions and convincing people that actually had no authority or influence but were yesing me and giving me happy ears. And so now, you know, we really train our team and we get maniacal about what we call champion building and finding a person that has said, you're the vendor of choice for me. You're the one I want to go climb Mount Everest with. We're going to partner together. We're going to build the business case and sell internally, partner on that enablement to get a deal done. And I wish I'd learned that earlier in my career.
And those people often will say things just like that, won't they?
They'll
let you know that's what's happening.
Anyone says to you, I'm the decision maker. Probably not the real decision maker, just being honest. But, you know, learning how to test for the champion, uncover, is this person a real advocate for me and my service to solve their core business problems? Or are they a champion for someone else and they're using me to get a better price with that someone else? Is another key factor of that.
Interesting. That's great. Well, if people want to learn more about your company or get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Get in touch with me on LinkedIn, Colin Spector. I'm sure we'll share a link into the show notes.
Yep.
If you're interested in learning about Aurum, the smartest calling platform and sales floor on the market, check out Aurum.com, O-R-U-M as in mother.com. We've got a free trial where your reps can sign up, make some calls in Aurum.
That's awesome. And if you haven't subscribed yet to the podcast, please do so wherever podcasts are distributed. Colin, awesome. Thanks for being our first guest here live.
Breaking the ice on live podcasting. Love it.
That's great. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you soon.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the SaaS Backwards Podcast, brought to you by Austin Lawrence Group. We're a growth marketing agency that helps SaaS firms reduce churn, accelerate sales, and generate demand. Learn more about us at www.austinlawrence.com. You can email Ken Lempit at kl@austinlawrence.com about any SaaS marketing or customer retention subject. We hope you'll subscribe, and thanks again for listening.